chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We're continuing our study in Matthew, and we've been going verse by verse through this book, one of the four Gospels, talking about the life of Christ. And Matthew comes at this from the perspective of Christ the King. And the neat thing about studying through a book is as you get further and further into it, things that you've already covered become better focused. Last week, we concluded chapter 13, which were the last three of the kingdom parables, where Christ said, "This is how the kingdom of heaven is." That should have built on the prior knowledge of what Christ said the kingdom of heaven is like in the Sermon on the Mount. It should have been validated by what Christ had done in between the Sermon on the Mount and these parables with his own actions and his discussion to the Pharisees. Today we're going to cover the entire chapter, Matthew 14. There's 36 verses, but it's in four specific sections. And each one of these has an insight about faith. We know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We know that without faith, it is impossible to believe in Christ as your Savior, that He died on the cross, that He rose again, that He could take away your sins and give you eternal life. Amen. It says, by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. Peter says that we're supposed to add to your faith these things. So we're going to see four distinct passages in this chapter, and they deal on faith. The first one is basically the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 14. And it talks about the death of John the Baptist. In verse 1 it says, "At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus." Now Herod was the king of that area. He could be like a provincial governor, he could be the king of an area, but he was put in place by the Romans to rule, okay? And this is after the fact, okay? Because it's not about Herod killing John, that's already happened. It's about Herod hearing of the fame of Jesus. Folks, the church is supposed to talk about the fame of Jesus. And the issue is, it's just not hearing it. It's what you do with it. It's whether or not you respond to it. He hath ears to hear, let him hear. We've heard that in chapter 13. So Herod has heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." How did Herod know that John the Baptist is dead? He killed him. He killed him, and the rest of this passage talks about that. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." How do you get rid of political opposition? Put them in prison. Then you kill them. Folks, there's people that are opposed to the truth. They want to repress the truth by putting the truth-sayer in some sort of confinement. And when he would have put him to death, that would have solved his problem. But he didn't want to do that because he had a populace to rule. He said, and when he had put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. So Herod's got this dilemma. He's put John in prison because of a wife that he shouldn't have had, told him to do so, but then the people are going, he caused a riot if he kills him. But there's more. Verse 6, "But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head and a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them that sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. You know, there's a lesson that we can all learn here. Think before you speak. Because if you start talking just kind of, you're going to have to answer to that. And in this case, what I really meant to say was this. There was no backing down from this. Because now Herod has another problem. He's got to save face. He can't upset the wife that he shouldn't have had. He can't upset the people, you know. He doesn't care about the people now. Now it's about how people perceive him as a leader. So he made this oath. And so he does this. And be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. He put the head in a silver bucket and brought it to his not supposed to be wife. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. See, John is an illustration that faith should endure to the end. You know, sometimes we have faith that we just kind of pick up and say, "I'll be faithful today, but then I won't be faithful tomorrow. I'll be faithful when it's good, but when times get tough, I'll look for some other way." That was not John the Baptist. He was faithful to the end. Yeah, he had his doubts. After he was put in prison, he sent two of his disciples to Jesus. We've already studied this. He said, two of his disciples, Jesus said, "Are you the one we're looking for, or should we look for another?" And Christ answered and said, "Look, I'm doing what all the Old Testament prophecies said that I should do. I am the Messiah." And John went back, or his disciples went back and told John. And you know something? That was good enough for John. Amen. What will it take for us to understand what's good enough to believe in Christ? Herod heard of the fame of Jesus, but he didn't believe. It's just not about hearing about it. It's having it change your life by faith. See, John the Baptist's faith was successful all the way to death because he kept practicing it. And if you want a faith that will endure in the good times and the hard times, you need to keep practicing it. John, when he was out of prison, basically went, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was the exact same message that Christ was preaching. It was God's message. Folks, we need to constantly proclaim God's message because that shows our faith to a lost and dying world. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says that the trial of your faith, or the testing of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. If you never do anything, your faith will never be tested. If you never have an opportunity, or if you never take the opportunity to exercise your faith, it'll never be tested. And so John was faithful to the end because he kept practicing faith. It says, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You know, when you refine gold, there is gold that is of lesser quality and it's basically discarded. It's still gold. So that the trying of your faith is even better than that, which means it's equal to the pure gold. The pure gold. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto... See, God's wanting to do some things about our faith. And when we have faith in God and we show that faith to other people, it does three things. First of all, it brings praise to Jesus. It says, "And unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." See, Herod's problem was pride. We talked about this in our youth class this morning. Pride's the opposite of this. It says, so our faith, if we keep practicing faith, we're continuing to bring praise to God. If we keep practicing our faith, we're continuing to pray, show that God is worthy of honor. If we continue to practice our faith, we show that God is worthy of glory and is glorifying Him. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus into what? Good works. But if you never do good works, how can you show faith? Right. That's what James talks about. So a faith that will endure all through your life is one that you have to keep on practicing. John the Baptist practiced it even in prison, all the way up to his death. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus is telling John to write to the churches, and he tells this church this: "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be what? Tried." Folks, we get tried every day. It just doesn't get thrown in prison. We get tried every day when we have to make a choice. A right choice when there's always a wrong option. You make the right choice. You do the good work. When's it time to do good? All the time. All the time. "That ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Isn't what we're looking forward to worth going through the trial now? Isn't it worth saying, "Hey, I'll keep an active faith. I'll keep actively practicing my faith"? So faith should endure to the end if you keep practicing faith. Faith should endure to the end if you base it on truth. There's a lot of false faith out there. Christ has already said in chapter 13 in the parable of sow, seed and sower, if you throw the seed on the shallow ground or the stony ground, it doesn't have any root. And because it doesn't have any root, it's really not true faith. And it's not based on the truth. And then it basically, persecution comes and it withers away because it can't withstand the trial. Folks, we need to have faith that is tried by fire. We need to have faith that we're actively pursuing and actively participating in. It's based on truth. Why was John thrown in prison? Because he spoke the truth. He said, "Herod, hey, you're breaking God's law. You can't have your brother Philip's wife. That's against God's law." Folks, faith will allow you to speak the truth even in face of, you know what the consequence is going to be. And today, there's consequences for speaking the truth at times. See, the psalmist, in two psalms it talks about this. In Psalm 57, verse 7, it says this: "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Remember the story of the three Hebrew children. Nebuchadnezzar sets up a statue of gold, makes a proclamation for the next 30 days that everybody hears music, that they have to bow down to the statue. The three Hebrew children would not, the three Hebrew friends of Daniel would not do it. Nebuchadnezzar brings them in, gives them one more try. One more try. He says, "Hey, if you hear the music, you bow down, will everything be okay? If not, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace." And what did those guys say? They said, "We're not careful." Answer to you, "We already made up our mind. Our heart is fixed. Throw us in a fiery furnace. If God delivers us, that's okay. If God doesn't deliver us, that's okay. Just understand we're not going to break God's law." That's faith, folks. That's a faith that's willing to endure to the end. And our faith should endure to the end. "My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." In Psalm 112, verse 7, which was what we used in men's prayer breakfast yesterday. Verse 7 says this: "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." Folks, faith must be based on God. There's nothing else that will give you the right answer. It's faith. So John's faith is something we should look at because it should endure in the end. Are there troubles coming up in your life that you say, "I don't understand why these things are happening"? Keep the faith. Keep the faith. God will get you through this. Understand what's on the other side. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, a very familiar story. When Jesus heard of it, heard of what? John being beheaded. Okay? He departed thence. You know, faith also can be mixed with some common sense. And Jesus, it was not Jesus' time yet. So he's not going to confront Herod directly. Okay? So he goes to a desert place. He departed thence by ship unto a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. God wants to put compassion on you. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or food." Now, there was no HEB in the mountain. No Walmart, no Bill Miller's, no McDonald's, no Sonic. They're out in a desert place. We know the story. But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." Wait. God, you've lost your mind. So they go through and they find out, okay, who's got food? And they find the little kid. He's got his lunch. Or his dinner. Okay? And he said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." Now, in another account of this, it says, "What is that among so much multitude?" This morning, I gave the kids in the 8:45 service crackers, this cracker. And I said, "You got to share it with everybody in the church." And Jeremy said, "Well, I could do that." And he, okay, fine. Yeah. And so basically what happens, yeah, you could do that, and everybody gets a what?
A crumb.
And I always say, and basically what would that be? It says, "Is that all? Is that all?" No. When God's in something, little is much. When God's in. The creator of the universe was there. He's the one that made the fish. He's the one that made the wheat to make the bread. He's the one that did all this stuff. He can fix this. He can fix this. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And I'm sure Christ was sitting there and said, "Watch this. Watch this." I want everybody to read the next period. "And they all did eat and were filled." Amen. They all did eat and were filled. "And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full." Hey, guys, you 12 didn't think that those 5 loaves and 2 fishes were enough? Have a basket. Have a basket. "And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." They were all lined up on a mountainside or in a desert place. We don't know exactly. But they're all fed. That was just 5,000 men. There was more than that. Because everybody had a family. At least over 10,000 people. So faith should endure in the end. Your faith should meet your need. If it doesn't meet your need, it's not faith. And the interesting thing about the story is, faith is grown in the desert place. Remember the parable, the seed and the sower, there was the thorny ground. And the seed is thrown in there and it takes root, but the thorns and the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world choke it out and becomes unfruitful. See, we need to get alone from God, to God, so He can teach us. When Paul was converted, he wanted to go back to Jerusalem. They said, no. We know what you were. They didn't trust him. So he goes in Arabia, in the desert of Arabia for years and learns. He's separated to God so he can learn. Moses, when he sees the flaming bush, he's by himself. Gideon, he's called to lead against the Midianites. He's by himself. He's in a desert place. folks, your faith is grown when you're by yourself, so you can, in the presence of God, so you can apply it when you're in His presence and when you're out there in the world. We need to take time out of our busy schedules and take some time for God and God alone. God, here I am. I'm listening. Here I am. I'm reading. Here I am. I'm praying to you. If you don't do that, your faith will not grow the way God wants it to grow. It's in a desert place where there is no HEB, where there is no distraction, where it's you and God alone. So faith meets your need is built in the desert place. Faith that meets your need basically comes to the point when your human resources are not enough. You know, we get into problems all the time. We want to see if there's enough money in our bank account or we have enough days saved up that we can get sick or whatever the case may be. But that's taking care of it in our own strength. God doesn't want us to take care of our life in our own strength. He wants us to trust in Him. And the disciples go and they scour the crowd and they only find 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And says, what is that? That's not going to work. Send them away. We don't want to be bothered with this problem. Then they're all going to lynch us. They'll eat us. Okay? Their human resources were not enough. And folks, that's where faith begins. Faith begins when we say, I can't do it in my own strength. I'll let you do it, God. I'll trust you to do it. You know, there might have been some people that were there and they saw the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and said, we're out of here. It's going to be a long walk home, but at least we'll find food. So you have to stay in God's presence in order to get the blessing. Then the other ones had, well, they had to listen to God. They had to listen to God to sit down and wait to be served. The disciples had to listen to God to go and take out the baskets and serve the people. Folks, faith allows us to minister. Faith allows us to receive the blessing of God. Faith allows us to all eat. Faith allows us to, that's Baptist, okay, eating. Okay, faith allows us to be all filled. All filled. So be filled with the Spirit. If we obey Christ's commands, faith will meet your needs. It will satisfy all, and there's leftovers. I love leftover pizza. Cold, makes great breakfast, okay? Yeah. But folks, when they had more left over than they started with, and you never run out of faith. There's always more if you seek God. Seek God for more. There's plenty left after use. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes, he says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith, what? Groweth exceedingly. And that the charity, or that your care or your love for one another, of everyone out of you toward all toward each other, what? Aboundeth. Folks, your faith will never be exercised unless it's tried. Your faith will never be exercised unless it's used. Your faith will never grow until you base it on truth. It won't grow unless you have an act. You actively participate in it. And it's not, I'll be faithful this day, and I'll be faithful. I won't be faithful. We need to be faithful all the time. Amen. That's my prayer for this church, is that we're faithful all the time. So faith should endure in the end. Faith meets your needs. Verses 22 to 33, another story is very familiar with. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up in a mountain apart to pray. Where's faith built? In a desert place. Christ got himself was alone with God. If Christ did it, why don't we? And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, tossed with waves, so the wind was contrary. Everybody like rowing into the wind? You don't get very far. So these guys started the day, now it's in the middle of the night, and they're rowing, and they're not very far. When you don't get very far, what do? Probably get frustrated. Probably say, well, why am I out here rowing? It'd be better to be on the shore. We'd at least be sleeping. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. No big deal, he's God. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, hey, they weren't expecting this one. They were troubled. That's an understatement. Saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out, it's Jesus, what's he doing out here? We left him alone out there in the desert. We were rolling all night. Another account says, and he would have walked right on by them. See, Christ will walk right on by if you don't look. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You know, that's what Jesus always says. Fear not. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Fear not. And Peter, I like Peter. You know, Peter, he fails a lot, but at least he tries. I would rather try and fail than not try at all, because that guarantees you failure. Yeah. He tries. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, he didn't know it was Jesus. If you're really who I think you are, bid me come out unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me! I'm drowning! And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now they've already seen this before. We already covered this before. This is not the first boat ride that they took. The first one, Jesus was in the ship and he was what? Asleep in the storm. Wakes up, calms the storm. This one, he's walking across the sea, gets in the ship. Hey, when Jesus is in your problem, same result. Peace. Same result. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Well, duh. He's walking on the water. Now the winds cease. Hey, we've seen this before. How many times will it take us to see Christ move in our life to accept him as God? So here's the deal. We know the story. There's the picture. Faith takes you beyond. Last week we talked about being more than you are right now. Your faith should take you beyond where you are right now. Those dudes were out in that boat struggling all night long. They were getting nowhere. And then Jesus walks by. See, faith can take you beyond your struggles. We're all struggling with something. Are you trying to solve it on your own? Or will you give it to Christ? He knows all about our struggles. We have a great high priest that was tested or tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Christ knows. He went through it. He went through more than we did. Anybody ever go out in the wilderness for 40 days with no food? Jesus did. I think he knows hunger. I think he knows loneliness. I think he knows all that stuff. Or when he's rejected by people. He understands rejection. He understands all these struggles. Struggle of unbelief. People not trusting you. He understands that. So faith can take you beyond when you are struggling. takes you beyond, because you'll see God when you're not expecting Him. They were not expecting Jesus to walk by the ship when they're out there rowing. They might have seen Him doing freestyle, but they weren't expecting Him walking on the water. And folks, when we're struggling, we need to look and expect to see Jesus. He's there. He's there. Next, faith could take you beyond to do the unimaginable. I give Peter credit. He was willing to trust and walk on the water. And as long as he had his eyes on Him, he did what Jesus did. John chapter 14 verse 12 says, "Greater works than these will you do, because I go to my Father." How can you show your faith in Christ to a world outside these walls if you don't do anything that Christ didn't do? You've got to do something. It's not just words. We hear words all the day on TV. Blah, 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 blah. It's time for action, church. We need to be people of action. We need to be Christians because we're Christ-like, which other people can see Him in us, the hope of glory. Get out of the ship! Put your eyes on Him! Do something that you saw. I could never do that. But God, you're calling me to do it, and I'll do it. But if you're sitting in the ship, it'll never happen. We're not on some pleasure cruise. We're supposed to occupy till He comes. We're supposed to show faith. Do the unimaginable. As long as you don't get distracted. God looks down from heaven and He sees us say, "Well, I'll get to church if my schedule allows it." What would have happened if Christ's schedule didn't allow Him to go to the cross? Folks, it's time to follow Him. Amen. It's time to exercise faith. We don't work Christ into our schedule. He is our schedule. Whatsoever ye do, and word or deed, do all for the glory of God. Whatsoever you eat or drink, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. That's like all. Let's not get distracted. There's so much distractions out there. They're tares, folks. Think of the last chapter. We're the wheat, they're the tares. Don't get distracted by the tares. Don't get distracted by the thorns. Don't get distracted by all the other stuff that's going on around. I got to take care of this now. Let God be control. And when we follow these rules, we'll see God as He really is. See, we all have our vision of God. We put Him in a box. We take Him out of the box. No, He's God. He's not in a box. You're in a box. He needs to take you out. And we need to understand the breadth and length and height of His God, of His love. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The same dude that fell into the water. But he took his eyes off Christ. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know, Peter learned his lesson. Have we? It took him a long time. He even denied Christ on the night of his trial. But he learned his lesson. Folks, God will work with you to learn your lesson. We need to learn our lesson from Him. So faith should endure to the end. Faith should meet your need. Faith should take you beyond who you are right now. And lastly, verses 34 through 36, we see a last part of this. Other gospel accounts said after Jesus left, there's other dudes that showed up in that desert place waiting for another free lunch. It didn't happen. Because the blessings are not where Jesus was, but where he is now. And when they were going over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. And brought him that they might only touch the hem of his garments, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. That's a great story. That's a great story. But faith could be so much more. Faith could be so much more. See, they heard. Herod heard of the fame of Jesus. These people, when Jesus showed up and he wasn't over on that side, they came over and he's over here. They heard and they spread through the country. Hey, the healer's here. Hey, the guy that made the 5 loaves and 2 fishes straight, he's here. Folks, he's more than a free lunch. He's more than he is God incarnate. And it's just not knowing up here. It's knowing down here. Amen. It's having faith. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's just not acknowledging God. Satan and his demons are watching every bit of this. Herod and all his minions watching every bit of this. Just knowing who God is won't get you very far. It's whether or not you have a relationship with him. Faith can be so much more than just meeting physical needs. Think of your prayer request. We ought to be praying for revival. We ought to be praying for faithfulness. We ought to be praying for holiness. Because Christ had already said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things be added unto you. See, we put it backwards. And we say, we're like Jacob. You meet my need and then I'll serve you. Okay? No. We serve him, he'll meet our needs. Amen. It's more than just the physical. He's interested in the heart. He's interested in what motivates you. He's interested in how you act. Because that will bring true change. Faith could be so much more than just acknowledging God, than just meeting physical needs. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the what? Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God's plan, I don't know what God's plan is for my life. God's plan for your life is to be saved. Have your eternity settled. Then from that point on, God's plan for your life is to look like him. That's it. Look like him at work. Look like him at home. Look like him when no one's looking. Look like him to your neighbors. That's his will, to be conformed to his image. And fullness implies that we have to build on it and fill ourselves up with it. We have to have an act of faith. It's a faith that should endure in the end. It's a faith that will meet your needs. It's a faith that will go beyond where you are right now. And it's a faith that could be so much more. Every one of us in here could improve on our faith. That should be our prayer. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That's a starting point. If you don't know if you spend eternity in heaven, you need to understand that Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of Man, or the perfect Son of God, came down and lived as a man, lived a perfect life, died on the cross in place of a sinner who represents all of us, to pay God's penalty for sin, which is death, was buried for 3 days, rose again out of the grave to show that he has power over the penalty of sin, which is death, and is ascended up to heaven, which means he's perfect.
Amen.
And now from heaven, he offers you the free gift of eternal life if you just ask God for forgiveness of your sins and say, I'll make you Lord of my life. If you've never done that, you could do that today. Christian, for us, where's our faith? Does our faith work? Or is it faulty faith? We need to get faulty faith fixed. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is a God of second chance, third chance, fourth chance. Do you need another chance today? Tell him and come to him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord, together. Lord, I ask you this invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to deal with you or let you deal with us. Lord, I just ask that you just watch over us, Lord. And Father, if there's someone that does not know you, Father, today, that they would pray the prayer of faith. Father, for us as Christians, Lord, help us to live a life of faith. Father, show us where it's faulty. And help us, Lord, to have you fix it. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Help it to dwell in our hearts richly. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.